Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 15 through 18. 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 15 through 18. And we're going to read these responsively in just a moment when you find it, and then we'll enjoy a special jump into the message. I do not have a lengthy message tonight. I have something just to share with you from this passage that I hope will just be a blessing to us now as we close out. We'll be taking the decorations down, closing out the conference, and then getting to the business of supporting these missionaries. Let's stand, please. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. Please join me on 16 and 18. Now, our Bible says this, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye should submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Lord God in heaven, we honor you tonight. Thank you, God, give you all the honor and glory for a great missionary conference, for the messages that were preached, the testimonies given, for the moving of your spirit in our hearts, and Lord, the fellowship that we enjoyed. May you receive all honor and glory from everything that was done and said. Lord, I pray in this message tonight, the same will be true, that God, you'll give that spirit of liberty again that only you can bring to a service. Bless the song and prepare our hearts for the message to follow with it, and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Jasper, gates of pearl, the clear and gold.
Now I want to speak tonight. I want you to look at verse 18. We're using that as our text for the title, "For They Have Refreshed My Spirit," Paul said. He got a visit from some fellas that refreshed his spirit. So I want to talk tonight about the visit that refreshed. The visit that refreshed. Dear Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes all our sins away. God, makes us fit to stand in your presence. Thank you, God, for the shed blood. May we never be too formal or too uptown to sing, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow." God, thank you for the shed blood of Christ. Thank you for what it does for us. Bless this service tonight, these thoughts to our people this Sunday evening. Thank you, God, again for our missions conference, and now help us this year. And may we see many souls saved and churches strengthened and built, established because of the work done by the missionaries. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth from the city of Ephesus, okay? Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. You get that over in Acts chapter 20, when he met with the elders from Ephesus in Miletus, and he said to them, "For the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn you night and day with tears." So Paul was there at Ephesus for 3 years. It was during that last year, the third year, that he wrote the letter to the church at Corinth that we know as 1 Corinthians. All right? Now, you will remember that the church at Corinth was not a spiritual church. All right? Remember that. Paul wrote the letter to correct some problems. And man, he was direct, and he was to the point, and he was hard-hitting, and he was pretty tough on a pretty rough bunch of folks. He's pretty tough on them. But they needed it. And it was all inspired of God, all given by God. And so he was pretty direct. Now, that being said, there were some godly people in the church at Corinth. There were some. We know three of them by name. We see that those names in verse 17. He said, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus." These men came to Ephesus to visit from Corinth, to visit the Apostle Paul. And Paul said in verse 18 that they made, or he said in verse number 17, that they made him glad. He said, "I'm glad for their coming." Now, I submit to us tonight, friend, it is always a blessing when your out-of-town company makes you glad. And woe when it's the opposite. You know, it's a lot better than having your spouse hang up the phone and say, "Uncle Fred and Aunt Wilma are coming to visit again." And there's a collective groan from the entire household. And, you know, when they arrive, you immediately start talking about, "When are you planning to leave?" You know, that's not a good sign if you go to visit somebody and they immediately want to know when you're planning to leave. That's not a good sign. And so Paul was glad that these men came to see him. And he said in verse number 18, "They have refreshed my spirit." Boy, that's a needful thing. That's a needful thing. You know, refreshing. I like that word. The word sounds good. Refresh. Some people have been used by God to be refreshing to others. I like to be around people like that, don't you? I like to be around those kind of people. I like to be around the kind of, when you leave their presence, you feel refreshed. Now, he had a visit from these three men who came to see him in Ephesus from Corinth. And he said he was glad. And he said, man, they refreshed my spirit. So I want to show you three reasons why I believe their visit refreshed the Apostle Paul. Number one, and I believe we'll get it from the Scripture. Number one, I believe they were a spiritual blessing. They were a spiritual blessing. Now, I want you to see, just hold your finger right here for just a moment. This is the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. Look at the first chapter, chapter 1. All right, just turn there real quick. I'm going to show you one verse. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 16. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Remember that, he said, okay. He begins dealing with the problems right away. He said, church, you're all divided. He said, you're all divided over personalities. One, you say, yeah, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos. And he said in verse 14, he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Look at verse 16. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So we know from 1 Corinthians, let's go back to chapter 16 now. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16 that Paul either led or preached Stephanus to Jesus Christ and baptized him. Okay? So he led Stephanus to Christ, or he preached the message where Stephanus got saved, and then Paul baptized him. Now, verse number 16 in chapter 16, I'm sorry, verse 15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Corinth was located in Achaia. So you say, Paul said, I know the house of Stephanus, the first fruits of Achaia. And we know that Paul either won or preached Stephanus to Jesus Christ. And so, okay, Corinth is in Achaia, the first fruits of Achaia. Oh, we get it. Stephanus was the first convert in Achaia. He was Paul's first convert in Achaia. Not so fast. Because before Paul got to Corinth, he was in Athens. Athens was in Achaia. Kind of like Chicago, Illinois, Bourbonnais, Illinois. All right? Athens, Achaia, and Corinth, Achaia. Before Paul got to Corinth, he was in Athens. Now, when he was in Athens, things did not go very well for him. There were only a few people saved in Athens. In Acts chapter 17, verse 33, the Bible says this, so Paul departed from among them. Verse 4, howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, Dionysius, a woman named Damaris, and others. So in that great, huge metropolitan city, heavily populated in the city that we know as Athens, Paul preached and he had a handful of converts, Dionysius, Damaris, and others. So there were already people who had been won to Christ by the Apostle Paul in Achaia. So some were already saved in Achaia before Paul got to Corinth. Are you with me? Okay. So when, I don't know if you're with me or not, because it wasn't a big response. Maybe you're not with me at all, but are you with me, okay? Some people have already been saved in Achaia before Paul got to Corinth. Here's the thing, folks. When Paul called Stephanus the first fruits of Achaia, this was more than just somebody getting saved. This was more than a convert. This was someone whom Paul had won to Christ, who was now winning others to Jesus Christ. Paul won Stephanus, and Paul baptized Stephanus. And then Stephanus began to grow, and he started winning others. Folks, that is fruit. That's fruit. And that is what refreshed Paul's spirit. Stephanus was more than just a convert. Stephanus was fruit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible does not say the fruit of the righteous is another convert. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Living trees bear what? Fruit. The fruit of the righteous is not just another convert who's using their salvation as a fire escape from hell. The fruit of the righteous is a convert who's been baptized, immersed in the work of the church, growing in the Lord, and is beginning to win others also. That's a tree of life. And there's nothing that refreshes your spirit more than having a Stephanus. There's nothing that refreshes your spirit more than having a Stephanus. Brother, nothing will refresh your spirit like seeing someone you led to Christ, settled and growing and now reaching others. And I must admit, you know, I'm ashamed of how little of that I have, you know, in the years of the ministry that God has given me. But there are a few of them out there. And I'm going to tell you something. They refresh my spirit like hardly any other. I was at the funeral out in Iowa, and there sat Abraham William. I knew he was coming because he called Joyce and asked her when the service times were. And he is the man whose door I knocked on the day after the Challenger blew up. Remember that? Somebody gave me the date the other day, and I forget it. It was in January. And 1987, 86. And Krista McAuliffe, and those seven astronauts, and everybody watched it happen. I was in the barbershop. And the next day, I knocked on his door. No emotion, no whatsoever. And he gets saved and in Iowa City. And my call starts picking him up. And Vanessa and Tara are little bitty girls. And I don't know if Mick had come along yet or not. And Vanessa and Tara, little bitty girl. 86, Mick, you were just born, I guess. You were born in 84, so a couple years old. And so you got Vanessa and Tara and Mick and Abraham William. They go by and send in Mike in the van, pick him up. And he came to church, and he got baptized, and he got in. And Brother Ed Bragg sits back here this morning, and he is a faithful member of Ed Bragg's church. I don't know if he still teaches the adult Bible. He still teaches the adult Bible class. He has taken Brother Bragg with him back over to India. Brother Bragg was able to win Abraham's mother to Christ in India. And you know, when I see him, it's not that I love him more than I love anybody else who's a brother in Christ. But when I see him, man, there's something refreshing about seeing a tree of life. Y'all with me tonight, folks? You understand? Okay. And this is a spiritual blessing. I remember getting the baptismal follow up card here in the process of the church stuff and the church the procedures of the church office and getting the baptismal follow up card. And boy, those of you that get baptismal follow up cards from junior church, I hope you don't treat them like, oh, this is not important. You get a baptismal follow-up card from junior church and you act like it's not important sometimes. They're vital. And I get a baptismal follow-up card. That's all I got. There's a couple of little kids in elementary school who got saved in junior church. And they live here in Bourbonnais. And follow up and go by and see if the parents will let them get saved. I went to Burgess Trailer Court, knocked on the door, and Rex and Jackie came to the door. Started talking to them about Amber and Rick, Ricky getting baptized. And then, are you saved? Jackie gave a good testimony of getting saved up at Bridgeport, Brother Clark's church. Brother Rex, if you remember the words you said or not, Brother Rex, he said, I had a religious experience. And I said, listen, you need to sow from the Bible and know what the Bible says about salvation. And so I talked to him. And I remember we got on our knees there in your house. And Rex gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And the next morning, they sat right there where Tony and Jody are sitting. The De La Cruz family. And Rick and Amber were kids. They sat right there. And Rex and Jackie holding hands. And I preached on deliverance. And man, he just soaked it up and got baptized. I think I got baptized with the kids that morning. Did you, Rex? And now, you know, I get a phone call here a couple weeks ago. Brother Rex there? So, Brother Rex? I said, no, he's not here. Well, man, I'm riding the bus on Sunday. I hope he doesn't forget me. And who are you? Said, my name is Mike. I'll be ready to go. And he's all fired up. And Rex is his bus captain and knocking doors and gets him to come. And the other day, it was the week before Valentine's. And I've been at the church and I had to run by the store over here one of the stores up north here and pick up a gift for my wife for Valentine's Day. I'm telling you, there was emergency vehicles flying to Birch's from everywhere. There were fire engines and ambulances and police cars and unmarked police cars, and they're flying over to Birch's from every direction. And I'm going, my goodness, and I passed by there, and they got, when I turned left at the light, those blinking lights, you know, stop all the traffic. When it's green, your direction, buddy, make hay. Amen. And so, man, I made hay through that thing. And I got around the corner, and I see they got police cars. I mean, it's around the perimeter of the park over here. I'm thinking, what in this world? So I called Dela Cruz's, and Jackie answered and said, are you guys okay? She said, yeah, we're fine. I said, man, I was just checking. I said, they got police cars and ambulances and unmarked police cars and fire trucks around the park over here. And I said, maybe somebody's running through there with a gun. I wasn't thinking. I said, maybe somebody's running through there with a gun. And she said, well, we know it's not Rex. Talking to them and to see that guy go out on that bus on Sundays, friend, you know, that's a tree of life. I am ashamed at how little of that I have over these years of serving God. But friend, I'm going to tell you, that is the most refreshing thing you'll ever experience. And you can have one of those. It takes just being out. You know, folks, you don't go out to win yourself a tree of life. You go out just in obedience to the command of Christ. And if you do it long enough, you're going to come across a tree of life. You will. You will. Andy, the day comes when you start winning some of your friends to Christ, and I hope you will, buddy. That'll be a blessing to Dan. Delbert. I think it was you and Delbert knocked on his door, was it? They didn't go out to find the tree of life. They went out just to give the gospel, ran across Antioch. See, that's what this was to Paul. Man, here he is at Ephesus. He's working hard to establish that church. He's warding off the grievous wolves. Remember he wrote about those grievous wolves in Acts chapter 20? And he's warding off the grievous wolves. And he's not talking about wolves. He's talking about people who act like wolves. And he's fighting the devil, tooth and nail. And one day he looks up, and coming down the road, he sees Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. And man, he gets refreshed. He said, man alive, look at this. Stephanus. I remember when he got saved. You want a spiritual blessing that will refresh you? Ask God to give you a tree of life. And then work at it. And then work at it. It was a spiritual blessing. But I see number two, not only was it a spiritual blessing, it was a ministry blessing to the Apostle Paul. Look at what he said in at the end of verse number 15 here. He said that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Can you imagine that? You talk about the right kind of addiction. You want to be addicted to something, get addicted to that right there. Now, by the way, folks, put this in the context. Now, think about this. I didn't think about this till this week. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints in a church that was struggling. In a church that was full of division and strife and envy and fussing and carnal folks, somehow, some way, even though the church was struggling, these folks kept serving. They kept leading. Look at verse number 16. He says that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. They were in positions of leadership. Miss Stephanus was addicted to the serving in the ministry. I don't know that he was a full-time preacher of the gospel. It doesn't indicate that. But it does indicate that he was one of those leaders in the church at Corinth, in a church that was full of division and strife. He was still at it. And I just want to say, I thank God for folks who are a ministry blessing. You want to be a refreshing person? Make yourself into a ministry blessing, as many, 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 many of you folks have. And I just talked about that a few Sunday nights ago on the Sunday night service on your success is not singular and that what you folks do here. You know what I thought about? I thought about all that we enjoy right now, and I thought about, my goodness, how this church saw some extremely difficult times. In the transfer of leadership from this 1976 and 1980, in the transfer of leadership 1980, when Brother Starr took the church and found in the desk drawer unpaid bills and 6 months' worth of mortgages that would have been, I forget how many thousands of dollars behind this church was. And there's a handful of you folks who stepped up to the plate when the church was suffering, and you stayed at it. And all of us tonight can be very thankful they did. You stayed at it. And he told me the story himself. He said, Brother Angel, I put the bills on overhead projector, what do you call them things, transparencies. He said, I put the bills on the overhead transparency and showed the fellas, and the fellas stepped up and said, I'll pay that bill. The guy said, I'll pay that bill. That took something, folks. You can say what you want to. That kept the doors open. Just a ministry blessing. I mean, in a time when, you know what, hey, folks, it's very easy when a church is hitting on all eight cylinders and moving forward, it's very easy to be involved in the ministry. But when that thing begins to cough and spit and sputter a little bit and hit on maybe five out of eight cylinders, it takes character then. Ministry blessing. Ministry, they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so these folks were a blessing to the Apostle Paul. My goodness, they were a blessing. And even in the transition time from Pastor Starr to Pastor Angel, the transition time there. And the church again kind of hurting again. And people stepped up and were in their place and stayed at it. The place of service. Boy, and I believe God is, and I don't long for time. Who knows what the future holds? Who knows? Who knows what the future holds financially for America, for the world, for Faith Baptist Church? I don't know. You don't know. But I hope and pray, and I believe with all my heart, that we got a great host, a core of people who will be ministry blessing if the difficult time comes. Stay right in your place serving God. Amen. This was a ministry blessing to the Apostle Paul. It was a spiritual blessing. It was a ministry blessing. And number three, I see that it was a financial blessing. Look at what he said in verse number 17. He said, I'm glad of the coming of these men. Now look at what he says. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. The church had gotten behind on their missionary support. And these men, they came and they were a financial blessing personally to Paul. He said, church, you've gotten behind. You lacked. But these men came and they supplied the part that was lacking. Now, church, let me ask you a question. Is it any wonder for a church that had become carnal and selfish and divided and full of strife and envying and speaking in tongues, is it any wonder that they had fallen behind in their mission support? No, because listen, giving is the result of a warm and tender heart. Giving is a spiritual matter. And when your heart gets cold and hard and backslidden, you know what happens to your wallet? It closes up. No doubt about it. It closes up. So somehow in the middle of a church full of that kind of trouble, these three men, they found a way to keep their hearts right with God and keep a tender heart and kept their wallets open. And they found the Apostle Paul and they were a personal financial blessing to him. It sounds as if they were pretty committed to their support of missionaries. And Paul was refreshed. You know what I believe with all my heart, because I know a little bit about the ministry. I believe that Paul was refreshed more by their commitment than he was the money. I'm sure the money was a blessing, but I think the commitment meant far more to him. Man, the commitment of those men. And that's what, you know, folks, honestly, to give to missions, it just requires commitment. Now, I don't know what you do, but here's what I do. I get my check from the church for the salary here at the church as a pastor of this church, and the first check that's written out of that check is my tithe check. The check to Faith Baptist Church, because I take it off the top. I take it before I get the gross amount, before Uncle Sam gets his percent or anything else. God's going to get the first fruits of my increase by the grace of God. And I take and right along with that, in the same check, I include the faith promise and the building. So that means the tithe and the faith promise and the building, all of it, come right at the very beginning. Because I'm committed to that. I'm committed to it. Now listen, you say, well, I want to give to missions, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to fill out a card here, and I'm going to work at it. And when I get everything else taken care of, then I'll give. If you do that, you know what? Giving to missions first, it will help you be careful financially. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of money wasted by God's people. And if you'll commit to it, and you'll take it, I mean, make it a priority like you do your tithe. And I mean, put it right there at the beginning. And then it'll make you be careful with the rest of your money and spend it wisely. And just be committed to that faith promise giving. Be committed to it. Be committed to it. That's what these men were. They were committed to it at a time when the church was struggling with all this carnality. And financially, these men personally got to Paul. And said, we know the church hasn't been able to send anything, but here's our part. And they were a blessing to him. And Paul said his spirit. And again, I submit to you that I think his spirit was refreshed more by their commitment than it was the dollar. By their commitment. So that's what they were. They were a spiritual blessing to the Apostle Paul. They were a ministry blessing to the Apostle Paul. And they were a financial blessing to the Apostle Paul. The visit that refreshes. I don't know about you. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that refreshes. I want to be a tree of life. I want to be a ministry blessing, and I want to be a financial blessing by being committed to God. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thank you for listening. I knew it was going to be short, and I did it on purpose. All right?